I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Ladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said, I want to make a podcast! Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
Hello, 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 and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host, and today I'm here with Eric.
What's up?
And Eric, you know, have you seen anything cool lately? Because I was out in the stores, and I ran across something, and this is what sparked me to talk about this again. But before I get into it, I'm wondering, have you run across anything cool lately? Any shows, anything that you're watching, any new previews that you've seen, or anything that you'd like to bring up real quick?
You know, that's a great question. I did see the new Flash trailer. That was interesting. I did enjoy the Flash when I was a kid, even though I don't know the mythology of the Flash. But I always enjoyed his superpower. It was one of the ones that I was attracted to. I'd love to be able to run fast and, you know, go through walls and stuff.
He gets struck by lightning, I think, right? And that's what
I think so.
Well, I think it varies. In one, it was an experiment with some kind of fast particle thing or whatever. Mm. And then in another version, it was struck by lightning. If I remember right, I could be way off base here. I don't know.
That makes sense. We'll take any criticism there.
So you're looking forward to the TV show. That's what's going on.
You know, I probably won't watch it, but I think it's neat that they're working on something. It'll be interesting to see how it develops, even though I haven't been a part of the mythology. For me, I'm more excited about Star Wars next year. I think that's something I'm really getting behind. I'm really going to enjoy.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about again, is Star Wars. Yeah. They did say now December, I think they actually said December 18th.
Is the release date?
2015, yeah.
Oh, so it was pushed back then, huh? Because typically it's a May release, right?
Yeah, you know, it traditionally has always been a May release, but I think they're going to go the Lord of the Rings route and do the Christmas, you know.
Well, I thought maybe it got pushed back because of Harrison Ford's accident.
Oh, you know, it could be.
Maybe.
I you know, because I didn't hear an original release date, but I mean,
you know,
I'm not paying attention to everything that's out there, so I don't know.
Having said that, John, I remember, I think I heard something about it. It's coming to my mind that they said, well, that's not going to upset the release date, even with that happening. So that might be.
It may have been December all along.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, Eric, when I was walking around this week, I ran across something pretty interesting that I didn't expect to see just yet. And it was this gigantic X-Wing fighter. And the other thing that shocked me was its price tag. It was only around $30.
Okay.
And this thing is huge. It's almost 30 inches long. So from tip to engines,
that's
you know,
2 feet, man.
Yeah. It's almost 3 feet long, and then it's got a wingspan of about 25 inches or so, 25, 26 inches. And at first, I was kind of like, you know, because it's not put together in the packaging. It's like this, If you go to Collider.com, Star Wars Rebels Toys Action Figures Images, you could find it on their article about Toy Fair 2014. And they have a picture of the X-Wing and a couple different angles, and they have a picture of the box that it comes in, and it's the wings are off, basically. It's taken apart in the packaging. And I wasn't quite sure about it, but I was like, well, you know, it's only $30. I might just grab it, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And when I got home and put it together, I was quite impressed.
Let me ask you this. Do the wings open when you push R2's head?
No, they don't open up. They're not. Uh-oh. It's not just like the old toy. But the R2 that you put in there, he doesn't come in there like they show in the packaging. He actually, like, you have to pop him in. And you have to put the wings on and the little gun things, whatever those little guns are that are on the tips of the wings, you have to put them on. And then there's stickers to go on it and everything. But that R2 seems almost to scale the same size as the action figures that are currently out there. So it's almost like the X-Wing. I mean, you can't put a figure in it, But it's basically like, if you when you put your action figures next to it, it's basically to scale with the figures, I think.
Okay.
You know, which is why it's so big.
Ah, that, okay, I see.
But it's pretty cool. I'm it's real light because it's real cheap and inexpensive plastic, which is why it, I think because it's got the low price tag, you know. It makes it so that you can hang it from the ceiling real easily. And I was actually thinking of painting it because it's got really nice details, but it's all one solid color of white plastic. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to see the details that are in there. But I'm thinking if you do like a nice wash coat of like a gray and black, maybe a little bit of brown in some spots to make it look dirty, mm-hmm. try to match the rough and sketchy look of them in the movies, you know, mm-hmm. that this thing, the detail would really pop out once you start throwing a coat of real light, like a wash over it, you know?
Yeah. Now, this doesn't have necessarily anything to do with the movie, does it?
No, I think they're releasing these as part of the Rebels line. But seeing those things got me thinking about all the new Star Wars news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to talk Star Wars again today on the Super Awesome Geek Show. One of the interesting things was that I was telling you a little bit earlier that there is a... Yes, so here it is. On StarWars.com, they have an article up there about Episode 7. And I don't know if you knew this, Eric, but at the end of the year last year, they had Lucasfilm and Disney invited everyone for an open casting call to get a role in J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7. Doesn't that sound exciting?
That is exciting. That, where was the casting call held?
They did it in 11 cities all across the U.S. and the U.K.
Okay.
So it must have been 11 select cities. Now, I never heard about this. If I had heard about this, I would have been there. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
And they said that like 37,000 people showed up over those 11 cities.
Oh,
and then, an additional 30,000 submitted applications online. So apparently you could have submitted some online as well.
Wow.
But they chose... So they chose two people. So one is a British actor named Pip Anderson, and we've put a link on the back page of the Super Awesome Geek Show, and there's a YouTube video of Pip Anderson in a Spider-Man ad that he did for Sony, and he's demonstrating his parkour, right? That's how they say it, parkour? P-A-R-K-O-U-R,
that's
parkour?
That's how I've heard it.
Yeah. So my feeling is he's got a – this is speculation – nobody run with this, but I'm thinking he's got to be some kind of Jedi of some kind to be, because of his skills in parkour and everything. I think that's why they would grab him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, we were talking, and I think the one guy who played Darth Maul had some good skills.
Yeah, Ray Park, right? Yeah.
So maybe he could be a bad guy. Who knows? I imagine they'll use his skills prominently, though.
Yeah, I guess I should say a Force user, right? I mean, he's going to probably be using the Force in one way or the other.
Yeah, right? Good point.
Yeah. And then the other person they cast was a girl named Crystal Clark. She's an American actress who was studying in Glasgow when they found her. So she actually is an actress, and she has done one film, which will be released in 2015 also, and that one is called The Moon and the Sun. So it's not like they picked anybody with no experience at all, right?
Yeah.
So I suppose you and I wouldn't have been, in the running, right?
Yeah, I might have been possible. Who knows? They might have seen me and said, you know, he belongs in a cantina.
Yeah. He looks like the bartender. Let's put him in
precisely.
There. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Who could I be? I'll be one of those weird looking aliens with the crinkled up faces or mm-hmm. something, you know, like, I have the death sentence on 12 systems.
That's great.
Right?
And I'll just be like, no blasters.
I'll have some blue milk.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting, I think, to see that. And then seeing that there's like a lot of people who've been cast, there's, let me see here. I saw this listing. So they also cast Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
Boy, how do you say N-Y-O-N-G-O. Nyong'o?
Okay. I'll believe you.
Yeah, let's go with that and hope we're right. She played in 12 Years a Slave. Did you see that movie?
Nope.
I didn't either. Sometime I will. I think we should. That's probably one that's on the list. Okay. And Gwendolyn Christie, who plays in Game of Thrones, she plays Brienne of Tarth. She's the you've probably haven't seen Game of Thrones too much yet.
Haven't. I haven't gotten into it, but a lot of guys talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's on Netflix or any of those things just yet. That's where you get to see a lot of these shows.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Primarily.
Yeah. But she actually plays a knight, an armored, knight. She has her own suit of armor, her own swords, and kicks ass in Game of Thrones. Right. And I'm curious what she's going to play in the Star Wars. You know, that to me, that's kind of interesting that, this woman who played this badass knight who can really hold her own and is a strong character in Game of Thrones. Like, what is she going to bring? Is it going to be like a total opposite, or are they going to pigeonhole her and make her be some kind of knight in this one? Or, yeah. And then they were saying, so there's John Boyega, and he played in, have you seen this yet? John Boyega is a British actor. And Eric, I don't know if you have seen, you got to watch this if you haven't seen it yet. Somehow you got to figure out how to find this and watch it. It's called Attack the Block. Okay.
Yeah.
And he played Moses in Attack the Block, and it was done. It's a British film, and it's about a bunch of gangsters, like guys on the street. You know what I mean? And zombies thing break out, or aliens or something. It's like I think it might be aliens. I think it's a sci-fi kind of thing. If I remember, because I saw it once almost like a year or so ago. But it was really, I remember it being really good. Like, they did a really good job with that film. I remember telling a couple people they got to check this thing out,
Yeah, I'm clicking on the trailer right now to just get some visual on it.
Yeah, let's see if it was zombies or aliens. I don't know if I remember. Yeah, it was aliens, right?
Yeah, apparently they're riding bikes. Got some bike riding there. The Ultimate Enemy.
Yeah, that's right. Nick Frost was in it, yeah.
All right, I see what you're saying. Nick Frost, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Sidekick of Simon Pegg.
Yep.
Okay, so these kids are going to go do battle with aliens here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good film. I remember it being pretty funny and pretty cool. So that's exciting that he's going to be in it. I'm wondering what he'll bring to the table. And then some other names that I heard are Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis.
Right. Classic.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And then Domhnall Gleeson? I don't know who that is, Domhnall Gleeson.
Looks very English to me.
And Max von Sydow. Oh. You know Max von Sydow,
yeah,
right?
What's he play?
He's done, I'm sure as soon as you see his face, you'll recognize his...
I need to see his younger face.
He was in, oh my gosh, just so many things. I mean, like... Yeah, he was in The Exorcist in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was the priest, right?
Mm. Yeah. He was in Minority Report. He was the bad guy, the cop, the guy in charge of it all. He's in the Tudors TV show.
Oh.
Yeah, the director, Lamar, or whatever his name is. In Minority Report, he was director Lamar Burgess. Yeah.
He plays a very good Grand Moff Tarkin type, I would imagine.
Yeah, and he was also in Judge Dredd. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah, that's right. He was Leland Gaunt. That's right. In Needful Things. So that's where I most know him for myself. Because I remember him. Do you remember Needful Things? That was the Stephen King thing that they turned into a movie.
I didn't see it.
And he plays the devil
in
that movie. And that's where I remember him from.
Okay.
And he's the voice of Viggo in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh.
Which we had, talked about before.
Yeah. I need to put that one down.
Put that one
under the belt. Again.
Yeah, so that's exciting because he has a presence, So he's gonna really bring. I'm wondering if he's gonna be a good guy or a bad.
Right.
Guy.
I'm imagining bad. I'm told that's where my money is.
Yeah, I'm thinking bad. Yeah.
I'm reading this news one day ago. Apparently, Star Wars Episode 7, Liam Neeson wants to reprise his role.
Really?
That's what I'm reading right here. Let's see here really quick.
Because they could have him as a, as a...
A ghost.
A ghost, right? Because they said at the end that he was going to talk to Obi-Wan and teach him how to be the ghost thing, and
Well, he says in here they must have just thrown this out to get some clickers or something. He says he most certainly would, but that no one's he hasn't been approached to reprise it. So just delete that out of the.
Yeah, there is something up on Ain't It Cool News about the Liam Neeson thing.
About this, is it?
Yeah, it says it's a less frequent, although still persistent rumor.
Okay.
That Liam Neeson would reprise Qui-Gon Jinn as a force ghost or some such.
Do you remember?
That's hard to say.
Force ghost.
I'm having a hard time saying that as a force ghost or some such.
Yeah. I can see that. Well, you remember when they were coming out with the Star Wars? Or sorry, not Star Wars. Star Trek, the most recent one, and it had Benedict Cumberbatch in there, and it was like, well, who is he? And they were figuring that he was one of two characters. He was either going to be Khan, or he was going to be another character. And one of the guys from Star Trek, I think he accidentally said the name of, not Khan, but the other character. And so, you know, you got to wonder about the disinformation that comes out to try and keep people guessing what's going on with the movie.
That's true. You know, the whole, it goes back to the whole, wasn't Andy Serkis the, that's right, he played, didn't he play Gollum?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He was in Rise.
And he's going to be in, he was in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yeah.
And he's going to be, oh my gosh, he's going to be in The Jungle Book, he's going to be in Star Wars, he's going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's going to be in, like, everything. Jeez. Yeah, you're right. He was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He played Caesar. So he's reprising his role as Caesar.
You know, I hear for the Smeagol, they weren't going to use his voice, and they enjoyed it so much they wound up using it. But, wow, what an impressive dance card he has.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm glad they got, like, Mark Hamill and all those guys back, because I just think it's
going to
be
fun. And I hope they do a good job of it. I hope what was your opinion on the latest Star Trek, you know?
See, I like the new Star Treks. I like what Abrams did with them. I do agree that they're a departure. I think Abrams will do the Star Wars universe more justice than he did in the Star Trek universe.
Because he's a fan of it?
The thing is I think that the one thing that he did do a departure on with Star Trek, which I can agree with some of the people who've been out there talking about it, is that it was a lot more battle and action oriented than any other previous Star Trek.
Right.
And like the whole idea of like Star Trek and the original stuff was where they're explorers and they're on a 5-year mission to explore the galaxy, you know? And everything in the two Abrams films was more like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Where it was like fighting in these big overwhelming battles and it was epic and you know what I mean? And like Star Trek isn't really at that epic battle level, you know? They're usually just, you know, traveling around. They might have a skirmish here and there, but they don't... It's never usually that, like, you know, all action all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I noticed. Yeah. We were just watching Star Wars, and that's what I noticed as we were watching. It's like, it is nonstop, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Star Wars is definitely more wars, more battle, whereas Star Trek is more about the trek, the travel, you know? It's the journey, right? So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with them. Yeah. And I mean, with Lawrence Kasdan writing the screenplay, I mean, he hands down wrote the best Star Wars movie ever,
Empire Strikes Back. The fellow who's doing the seventh one? Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, that's why I'm like totally thinking this is going to be fantastic because he wrote Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, you just made me more excited to watch it. That's
great. Other thing I wanted to touch on, speaking of Star Wars and all the excitement and new news and everything. So there's a new Rebels TV show, which is what I think we've talked about that. We've probably mentioned it once or twice already, right? And the other show that I thought, you know, we haven't really seen much on that. There's been a couple little preview things of different characters and stuff, but we haven't really seen a full episode yet. We're waiting for October. But something that I did watch the other day is I watched an episode of the Yoda Chronicles. Now, are you aware of this TV show?
No.
So this is a Lego-based Star Wars cartoon. And I gotta say, I was kind of skeptical at first. I was like, eh, I don't know, this is probably gonna be really for little kids, you know? And so, but I watched the first episode. They're about a half hour long, 20-25 minutes, you know? But it was really good. It was cute, humorous, and the story picks up where they leave off. So, like, basically, like, Yoda and Obi-Wan and them are all, like, you know, basically it picks up where after Obi-Wan's dead. So Obi-Wan's dead. Yoda's hiding out in Dagobah. He's in his cave. And he hears this thing outside, and it's Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's like, hey, Yoda, I'm here. And he's like, guess what? I'm a Force ghost now. And he's like, oh, okay. And then they start talking about, like, reminiscing about old times and things like that, you know, about back when he was alive and when Yoda was training people and stuff, and, like, how the Empire destroyed everything and everything. And then he's like, and, you know, we got the Jedi holocrons so we can train Luke when he gets old enough. And Obi-Wan's kind of like, what? Holocrons? I thought you were going to get those. And Yoda's like, no, you were supposed to get them when we left the thing after you left that message, right? And he's like, no, I thought you were going to get those. So they just have this little banter where they, you know, both forgot to do something, and then they have to go on this adventure to try and get them back before the Empire realizes that they left all the holocrons in the Jedi Temple. But it was just pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny and humorous, and, you know, they're going to do a lot more, and, you know, it's got that same kind of humor that was sort of in the Lego movie. So if you really liked that Lego movie, it's that sort of kind of humor, but in the Star Wars universe, you know, and the serious parts of the story that they interject, you know, there's humor and there's serious bits, but it ties along with the story and actually goes along with fitting in between, like, Star Wars Episode 4 and, say, Empire Strikes Back, you know. So between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, it kind of fits in somewhere in there. And Yoda goes back and talks about stories that they did when they were, you know, in different time periods and stuff, so that he can go back and forth, you know.
No, keeping it alive.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of a neat little show, and I'm excited to see Star Wars on TV, and I hope there's going to be more. Like, I really hope they someday do that live-action television show that they were talking
live
about.
Live-action? Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was it called, like, Star Wars Underworld or something that like that?
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how all this pans out with Disney getting a hold of it and starting to put some gas.
Basically, there's an article here on Collider.com, again, that says that one of the more curious could-have-beens was the Star Wars live-action series called Star Wars Underworld. And George Lucas and Rick McCollum had worked on putting this together, and they commissioned nearly 50 scripts. So somewhere out there is around 50 scripts that have to do with Star Wars Underworld.
That's a lot. I mean, that's some definite work.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like it would have been a 40-minute episode, so basically like the standard hour-long with commercials and on primetime regular TV. And this article says that it would have been young Han Solo, young Lando Calrissian, you know, back when they knew each other.
Hopefully they'll do a good job. Yeah. I imagine they will.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, even though this television show got scrapped, I bet you they will do a live-action TV show, especially after one or more of these movies comes out.
Yeah, Disney's definitely going to try and make good on their investment.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, I can't wait for Star Wars Episode 7.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely be there at opening night.
And on that, let's salute and let's take off for the night and get some dinner.
Okay, sounds good.
So here we go. Salute to Star Wars. Yay! Episode 7. All right, Eric, thanks a lot for coming on and talking with me for a little bit.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it's too bad Robert didn't end up showing up.
Okay, there's always next time.
Yep. Okay. All right, see you later, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And now it's time to get your geek on at the con. First up, we're going to run over to Bellingham Comic Con, talk to James Taylor about Bully's Bully and find out what he geeks out about. Then we'll run on over to Geek Girl Con, talk to Dane about Monkey Minion Press and his poster art. And lastly, Art Evans from Die Hard 2, the actor himself, gives us a little bit about what he geeks out about.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoy the little Geek On at the Con session. And we'll talk to you later. See you next week. I just ran across some incredible art prints here. This guy does some amazing work. And he also has a webcomic called Bully's Bully. Take a minute to let us know who you are and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Hi, I'm James Taylor. I work on the Bully's Bully. It's a webcomic, and then, of course, we've done a Kickstarter campaign for a printed book. I've worked in the industry since about 98, mostly as an anchor for various publishers, and now just kind of doing my own thing. And then I also run Jet City Comic Show, which is down in Tacoma, Washington. And so, yeah, I'm just all about the comic book industry, I guess.
Where can they find it all your work?
JTinks.com. It's JTinks.com. But the main place is the Bully's Bully, just bulliesbully.com.
Cool. And I always like to ask, what do you geek out about?
You know what? Conventions. And obviously I run one, but just the melting pot that a convention is with all the artwork, and mostly artwork, but all the creations and everything. It's a lot of fun to see it all. And then see the old creations with the vendors at the bigger dealers. It's all great.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you.
Enjoy the show.
Yes, definitely.
So I'm here with Dane at the Geek Girl Con, and he's got some incredible poster art here. Dane, since this is a geek show, we love to talk about what you geek out about. So what do you really love? What are you geeking out about these days?
I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to geek out about anything. Last thing I really geeked out about was the Avengers movie, honestly. I've been really enjoying the Marvel Cinematic Universe a lot. Probably about as much as everybody else here. But
yeah. What about that Guardians of the Galaxy? Did you see that one?
That was really, really good. It was way better than I expected it to be, honestly. Yeah.
And hey, where can everybody find your stuff? Where can they look up your art and everything?
You can find me at monkeyminionpress.com or at monkeyminion on Twitter.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm here with Art Evans. What do you geek out about?
That's an interesting question. I geek out about the fact that I don't know what the hell a geek out is. And so I geek out, like walk between elevators all day.
I mean, like, what do you love? What are you into? What do you when you go home and you want to relax and you want to do something, what do?
I play flamenco guitar, like working on my book, my second book.
I'm a big breakfast cereal fan. You know, when I was growing up, I used to always watch all the old cartoons and read comic books while I was eating my breakfast cereal. Do you like cereal?
Unfortunately, I do. It's specific ones, certain ones now. But I started back the killer cereal where they made it all sugar and you could add sugar, and you could add sugar to it. And then they started making cereal with sugar. And that's when I really got messed up.
Yeah, I always liked like Boo Berry and Frankenberry. Do you remember those?
Yes, I do. Yeah, right on.
Well, hey, Mr. Evans, thank you very much for your time, all right?
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
I hope that was an all right.
Oh, it's a great, man. I appreciate meeting you.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for coming out.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. We have new episodes every Friday. Interviews and other cool stuff go up on Tuesdays when we have them. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. We're on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. We have a Patreon account, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. All your pledges help, and we really appreciate the support. If you'd like to participate and or be on the show, just email me, john@mowich.net. Well, from all of us hosts, we'd like to thank you for listening. Hope you have a good week. And join us next time on the Super Awesome Geek Show. See you later, everyone.